Martin LeClaire, Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Barrick Yard Advisors, is here talking stocks. Welcome to the Money Life Market Call for August the 7th. Yes, it's the Money Life Market Call, where we talk with money managers about what they look for, how they do their job, what their methodology is, how they apply it in today's market, and then how they apply it to some things that you're interested in. Martin LeClaire is my guest. He is Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Barrick Yard Advisors. And if you go to his website, barrickyard.com, you can get more insights in what they do, because they have a very specific process. And he's always been very good at describing it. I'm going to have him describe it in just a minute. But first, a reminder that it's not just barrickyard.com, but it's Barrick Yard, or at Barrick Yard on Twitter. Martin LeClaire, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Chuck. It's great to be here.
So, like I said, you have always been very good about describing the methodology. It is available for folks who want more information, or at least it was available the last time I checked your website. But we need to talk about it here, because buy, sells, and holds are worthless until you know what goes into them. So explain what that methodology is quickly here.
Sure. What we do, Chuck, is, you know, we manage money for individuals, as well as being a trusted advisor to clients regarding anything financially that can affect them in any way financially. Our focus is on behavior, number one. Number two, what we call predictive factors. And number three is skin in the game. And by behavior, one of the things that we have observed over time, the data proves us out, is that it's all well and good if you find stocks that go up a lot. However, most people's behavior is the biggest obstacle to their investment success. And so one of the things that we try to stress with our clients is the whole idea about long-term investing. And the whole idea behind long-term investing is that the way you make money over your lifetime is by allowing your money to compound. And just a little thought experiment, which I don't think I've tried with you before, but assuming you were to have two portfolios. Portfolio number one, you put $10,000 into each of 10 stocks and hold them for 40 years. Over that time period, every one of those 10 stocks goes up by 18% a year. Then on the entire portfolio, if every stock went up by 18%, it's sort of a no-brainer, right? Your rate of return on the $100,000 that you put into it will be 18% per year. Very few people think about the math behind it, but if instead of having 10 out of 10 grow at 18% a year, let's say you're a complete loser almost, and 9 out of the 10 go to zero, but only one stock grows at 18% a year. I ask this question, I say, well, what do you think your total return on your original investment would be? And people come up with the guess, you know, well, let's see, one-tenth of 18% is 1.8% a year, so I'll guess 2%. Well, the correct answer is actually 11.4%. So it just goes to show that you can make mistakes in investing. You can do all kinds of figurative sins with respect to investing. But if you give it time, eventually you'll be successful.
How much do market conditions wind up dictating what you're doing, and how do you see the market conditions now?
So the most important ingredient in terms of whether or not a company will be a good investment or not is the price you pay for it originally. So valuations really matter. Another way of looking at it is what we do is we look at a company as an asset that has a yield. We take the free cash flow, because that's the amount of money that they're really making, and we divide that free cash flow into the price of the stock. So if a stock, for example, is trading at 10 times free cash flow, the yield is 10%. If it's trading at 20 times free cash flow, it's yielding 5%. Right now, the general stock market is trading at over 20 times free cash flow. So the real yield on the stock market is somewhere around 3 to 4%. So what we focus on is the valuations in individual companies, and we try to buy companies that have significant free cash flow. And we try to buy companies with yields of somewhere between, you know, for high quality businesses, you know, 7, 8, 9%. And then for perhaps companies that are not so high quality, in the mid-teens. And that's how we kind of look at the stock market.
So as you're looking at the stock market right now, what's a stock or two that sort of stand out to you as the kind of thing you'd want to be buying?
In addition to looking at stocks trading at attractive free cash flow yields, another thing we look at is, okay, it's great that a company is making money, but what do they do with those profits? And what they do with those profits is very, very key long term. So there's a metric called return on invested capital, and we like companies that have high returns on invested capital because that means with the money that they keep and not give to shareholders in the form of a dividend, it means that they can grow the company quite nicely if they have a high return on invested capital, so long as that cost of capital is low. So we look at that metric. And an example of that, which also fits into, we're also somewhat thematic investors. One of the big themes that we are thinking through is the retirement of the baby boomers. And so a stock that comes to mind would be CVS Healthcare. Now, the stock is cheap now because there's a lot of concern about Amazon. But from our analysis, we think that that is overblown. And CVS is sort of the poster child for what we're all about. It's a high-quality business. It has a high return on invested capital, particularly relative to its cost of capital. It has good growth dynamics, and it's trading on a free cash flow yield of around 9-10%.
So that's CVS. What else stands out to you right now?
One of the other themes that we're thinking is that these trade skirmishes possibly could turn into a trade war. So we have what we call jokingly the MAGA type portfolio. That would be a company that is doing all their business in the United States, all their sales in the United States, and which could benefit from trade skirmishes going awry. And there's a company out in Wisconsin. It's called National Presto. Your listeners may know it because they make household appliances, very small ones. And that's a small part of their business. The lion's share of their business and where they get their free cash flow from and their profits from is in their defense business. And they make munitions and small arms for the U.S. Army. And their manufacturing facilities are mostly, well, they're all in the United States, mostly scattered between Wisconsin, Arkansas, and Tennessee. And it also has some of the other attributes which we like, for example, skin in the game. Mary Jo, who runs the company, she owns about 35% of the stock. The company has no financial debt, has a very high return on invested capital, very low average cost of capital. So that would be another example of what we're looking for, NPK.
NPK is National Presto Industries. What makes you sell, and what's something you've had to sell recently?
So what makes us sell is if the company gets taken over, and we've had a couple of those in the past year. But in terms of what makes us sell would be two things. One is if we feel as if we've clearly made a mistake, you know, the old John Maynard Keynes thing, you know, when the facts change, so does my opinion. And then the other would be if the stock just becomes crazy expensive. An example of what I've sold recently, I had an outsized position in Icon Enterprises, for example, among myself and my clients. Another idea behind Skin in the Game is that I invest in the same things that I put my clients into 100%. So I had built a pretty big position in Icon Enterprises, and it became sort of an outsized position. It was ungodly cheap. It was selling in the 40s. And then recently I sold about 25% of the shares that I held.
So, yeah, trimming back on ticker symbol IEP, Icon Enterprises. Now we understand how it all works. We're going to put you to the test of our audience.
Play, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
It's Hold It or Fold It time with Martin LeClaire, the Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Barrick Yard Advisors. BarrickYard.com is the website. On Twitter, at Barrick Yard. Hold It or Fold It is where we put our guest to your test. And we'd love it if you want to test our guests. To do it, send your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in to Chuck@MoneyLifeShow.com. We'll add them to our list and hope they make it into an interview soon. We're going to start with some domestic requests, and then we'll move a little further afield. But Dave in Quincy, Massachusetts, so very close to me, he wanted to know about NTTHF. That's Neolithium Corp.
So Neo Lithium is a penny stock. It's a company that has had negative cash flow for years, has lost money for a long time. I can understand why he might have an interest in a company with the name Lithium in it because of the promise that electric cars potentially present. So I would say that Neo Lithium is definitely a sell. But the instructive thing here is that in my career, I've seen a lot of people who have a good investment thesis. You know, number one, electric batteries are here to stay. There's going to be great demand for lithium because of that. But lithium is a commodity very similar to other commodities. There's a possibility that there could be an oversupply. It's going to have its own bull and bear market within itself. So my advice there would be to look at a blue chip in the industry that has the financial wherewithal to deal with unexpected or adverse consequences potentially in the future. So something like an Albemarle would make more sense to me, which is a profitable company, a real company, something that's been around for a long time, and which is also down as a consequence of a pullback in lithium prices.
So it's a no. It's definitely not to NTTHF, the penny stock, Neo Lithium Corp.
Put that one on the psycho list.
Instead, look at Albemarle, ticker symbol ALB. That was a buy.
Either gets on board or he gets left behind.
Dale in London, Ohio gets our next two requests. The first is for Middlesex Water Company, MSEX.
Middlesex is a utility, water utility. Water utilities are great businesses. People are always going to have to drink water. There's never going to be a substitute for that. There may be a substitute for electric utility companies, battery technology, for example, but you're never going to have a problem with people not drinking water. The other thing about the industry that's very, very attractive is that there are very few publicly traded companies and very few private companies involved with the water utility industry. Most of them are municipally owned. So the ones that are privately held are able to pick and choose which markets they want to be in. And so if the regulator becomes a pain in the patoot, then what they can do is just say, okay, we're not going to do business here anymore. We're just going to do business elsewhere. So the regulators tend to be very benevolent with respect to these companies. Remember, it's the water utility companies. So Middlesex is an okay one. The one that we have in the portfolio that we very much like is Aqua America, which is WTR, which is one that we like more. But you could do a lot worse than Middlesex. I would have to say, though, that these are very long-term investments because they're expensively priced, but I can justify them being expensively priced because their business models are so rock solid.
So when it comes to Middlesex Water Company, you can sort of make your money in trips and drabs. It was a hold. It wasn't a hold with a lot of conviction because if you want to make a splash, well, that would be what you do with Aqua America WTR. Yes, I get paid to play. Dale had another request, this for Apple Hospitality. That's APLE.
Apple's an interesting company. It's a real estate investment trust, not to be confused with the company that everyone knows. They're based in Richmond, Virginia. I actually own Apple, and I recently accumulated a position for my clients and myself about 8 or 9 months ago. It has a very attractive dividend yield. So it's an income play. It yields just under 7%. The reason why it came on my radar screen is I was speaking to an expert in the institutional real estate world, specifically regarding hotel REITs. And his estimation was that this is one of the highest quality skin in the game companies out there in hospitality. Now, it's a cyclical business, and if we have a big recession, the dividend might be cut a little bit. Who knows? Maybe they could go through and not cut it but I'd say it's a buy if you're looking for income.
Oh, yeah, beautiful. We could make a fortune.
That's a buy on Apple Hospitality, the REIT company, APLE. Tony in Henderson, Nevada wants to know about Group Bruxelles Lambert. That's an ADR that trades under EAI.
So GBL is for short, is a holding company based in Brussels, and they are a holding company for two of the richest French companies or French families in the world. One is a French-Canadian family called the Desmarais, and then the Belgian company called Frère. It's a holding company, which means that it's a company that owns other companies. It's a highly undervalued holding company. The stock's trading at around 90 euros equivalent, and the net asset value, in other words, the value of the companies they hold in the portfolio, is like 120. So already you're getting a bargain. The second thing is they own really high quality businesses, everything from Adidas to SGS, which is a Swiss company. They're in the inspection and certification industry. Pernod Ricard, which is one of the premier drinks company on the planet. They have some other holdings among European companies. So as a retail investor, or really any investor, if you want a nice exposure to Europe and get it at a big discount with quality companies, I would say this is an absolute buy.
Could we please buy now?
Yes, you can, on Group Bruxelles Lambert GBL, ticker EAI. And last, in the limited time we have left, for Thomas in East Greenwich, Rhode Island, it's Sberbank of Russia. That ADR trades under SBER.
So the reason why I would say stay away, by way of background, I was in London for 9 years. I ran the investment management business of a major firm. I did business really throughout the world. So I'm not saying this as someone who's provincial, but someone who's cosmopolitan. The thing you have to, I think, as an investor, think about is the rule of law. And there are places in the world that have the rule of law, like the European Union, Switzerland, Singapore, Hong Kong, obviously the United States and Canada. There are places that doesn't have the rule of law. Russia is clearly one of those places. It's a gangster economy. It's run by gangsters. So if you invest in Russia, you're going to end up with a gangster experience, I believe, which means it's not going to end happily for you.
Oh, boy, that sounded bad.
That was a sell on SBER's Sberbank of Russia, PJSC, the ADR. And, yeah, that sounded bad. What sounded great was chatting with Martin LeClaire. Marty, it's always great to chat with you. Thanks so much for joining me on the show.
Always a pleasure, Chuck. Thanks.
Martin LeClaire, everybody, he is Chief Investment Officer at Barrack Yard Advisors. So if you know the name of the firm, just remember Barrack Yard. It's barrackyard.com, and they're on Twitter, at Barrack Yard. We'll be back to wrap up today's edition of Money Life and to tell you what's coming for the rest of the week right after this message. Stay tuned.